You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April the 24th, 2020. We've crossed a line that many are going to tout with headlines, and understandably, we now have passed 50,000 dead in the U.S. from coronavirus. 3,000 dying yesterday. Now, all those are attributed to COVID-19. But I will emphasize to you again, and while the number might be correct, I'm not going to quibble basically over that, and any loss of life is tragic for that particular family and relatives and for the nation. But we've been told repeatedly, coroners cannot really verify if anyone's died of COVID-19 unless they give them the COVID-19 test during the autopsy and use that to examine. And they don't want to use a COVID-19 test on the deceased. They want to save them for the living. But either way, they're now listing 50,000 plus dead in the U.S., U.S. infection rate, 870,000. Worldwide infection rate, 2.7 million. Deaths, 192,000. And states are looking for ways to open and start business again. Georgia doing that today. Texas and others are considering getting online, maybe by Monday, maybe some over the weekend. And, of course, there are those that are restricting still. The Michigan governor is extending her stay-at-home order until May. Lawmakers are trying to intervene at this time, calling for a special session to launch a committee to review her actions and see if there's not a way to get the state open earlier. In Illinois, the governor has extended his stay-at-home order through the end of May. And then you also have this. When it comes to the issues with coronavirus and the nation, and particularly the president, the left suggesting there's a silver lining. There's a silver lining in the midst of this virus, meaning the destruction of President Trump and the nation as you know it, actually, and a way to get us closer to socialism. And race baiting continues to be part of it to make sure anything that Trump or any governor does that is opposed by the left will be called out as racist. For instance, right from Georgia. As they're beginning to open up businesses in Georgia, black leaders coming forward and say reopening Georgia is an attack on people of color. I would imagine there are many barbershops, nail salons, and gatherings for black Americans in Georgia that want to restart, get money coming back in, just like there are white. But by the Georgia Republican governor deciding to reopen, they say it's an attack on people of color. And I will remind you, President Trump did say he's not in favor of what Governor Kemp is doing at this time. He thinks he's moving a little fast, but again, he's going to leave it to the governors to make their decisions, trying to get folks back to work. Oh, and speaking of getting back to work, there's a piece I have not had a chance to deal with, but I'm going to today. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is where do I go with this? I mean, she is urging you, if you get called back to work when this is all over, you should boycott work. You should not go back to work. She thinks you should just stay out, as if that's going to punish Trump, the nation. And if you're suffering already, you're just going to have to suffer a little bit more. Keep in mind, this one-time barista, coffee barista, or bartender, now has a job in Congress. She's getting her check. And then we have the story, the punishment for two black legislators. One who credited Trump with helping save her life because he talked about hydroxychloroquine. She's being punished. The other being punished because he says Democrats have abandoned black America. Now, we had his story yesterday. Vernon Jones, There's a big change since yesterday on what had happened. I'll bring you up to speed on that. And, of course, some are saying the mainstream media would have you believe the president is suggesting you inject Lysol directly into your body to fight the virus. He did not. But, of course, the left doesn't really care about the facts if they can get the narrative out there to scare you. On for balance, before we wrap up in the next 2 hours, British comedian Ricky Gervais calling out celebrities for lecturing you on how to live and survive the virus. He's nailed it. He's made it clear, you big heads, elite in Hollywood, just shut your mouth. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Only in America does the president, when the president tweets about liberation, does he mean go back to work.
The words of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, New York Congresswoman. Only in America, if the president talks about liberation, he means get back to work, as if get back into the chains. Grab your oar. You got to start pulling again. America is built on the self-determination of not just entrepreneurship, but those who hard work, be it in the farm fields, be it in the factories, be it in just trying to start up a business or being whatever the job requires. Now, here's this former bartender saying you really have to consider what the president's asking you to do. So if you're sitting out there and you don't have a job right now because your business is closed because of the virus, they've shut down your business, not considered essential, and you rely on that paycheck. She says when they open them up, boycott. Just don't go, because you're then subjecting yourself to President Trump again. That's her viewpoint. And for those business owners, you shouldn't bother reopening when the word sounds all clear. Just stay closed. What we have is, again, Democrats looking for an opportunity to expand socialism throughout the process of this. The remarks of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez were made on a program called Vice Seat at the Table the other day. And she made this remark as many states at that time were beginning to talk about reopening their economies. Georgia is today. And Texas, Tennessee, South Carolina in the lineup. The Colorado governor, who's a Democrat, announced his state's stay-at-home order will be downgraded and allow certain businesses to reopen. So there's a Democrat governor stepping forward. But Ocasio-Cortez has a word for all of these governors, and she primarily wants to point to the Republicans. Her statement is, Trump has no plan to get people safely back to work. Now, I just told you that he is against the Georgia governor opening his state at this time. Kemp won re-election, won election in Georgia, with the support of President Trump. So you had two Republicans with a different viewpoint, the president's viewpoint and the governor of Georgia. It's his state. And the president, while he said, I might have to be a deciding factor if there's an issue that might threaten our national security, I'm going to let the governors make their decisions. So the governor's making decisions, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that any Republican governors outlining plans to quickly begin reopening their states are, quote, sending vulnerable workers to die with false claims of safety. So as I said a moment ago, in Georgia you got black legislators and some leaders, I should say, stating that reopening Georgia is basically an attack on people of color, not helping them. Not helping them if they have a business and they need a job and they need to go back to their job. No, it's just an attack on people of color. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says GOP governors like Kemp are sending vulnerable workers to die with false claims of safety. So once again, she says, Trump has no plan. And then let's hear her remarks again in more detail from the radio program the other day.
When we talk about this idea of reopening society, you know, only in America does the president, when the president tweets about liberation, does he mean go back to work? When we, you know, have this discussion about going back or reopening, I think a lot of people should just say, no, we're not going back to that. We're not going back to working 70-hour weeks just so that we could put food on the table and not even feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives.
And again, I point this out, that she is now a duly elected member of Congress. She's got a paycheck. What do you think her view would be if she were still employed as a coffee barista or a bartender and that bar or coffee shop is shut down and she's got no income coming in for herself? Do you think she'd want to get back to work? Do you think if someone said, hey, what, they're going to open the shop, but don't go, boycott it, just don't go back to work. Show them what? Show them stupidity? That's what you'd be doing. And, of course, this is the same person, and I point to her specifically because, well, she's a prime example of unfiltered leftist doctrine, even surpassing Bernie Sanders. She is unfiltered. She says what she thinks. She exposes exactly what the left has in mind. For instance, when the oil prices went to hell the other day and still down at the bottom, she's looking at it as an opportunity to invest in green infrastructure to save our planet. What did I tell you a moment ago? Democrats are looking for all of this to create an opportunity to expand socialism. And she wants a green infrastructure to save our planet, that we can do things over again. And Biden had said the other day, we have a chance, we have a unique chance to reconfigure our government, restructure it. And when the oil prices went to hell the other day and continued to dive down, she put out a tweet that said, as the prices were plummeting, you absolutely love to see it. Really? Does she not think about the jobs that are lost in the oil field business? The families rely on oil field employment, even if they're not actually in the oil field on the derrick, even transporting, working the rig or anything, but they're in some supply chain that brings materials into the deck or into the derrick and things of that nature. She doesn't care. She doesn't realize this. I mean, does she really not realize a ripple effect of the oil industry if it went to hell? You know, last night I was watching Too Big to Fail, the story of the 08 crisis, of course, when Bears and Stearns went under. Then Lehman Brothers had to declare bankruptcy, and we were struggling like crazy to find a way to keep the country going, and we were on the brink of a total economic collapse. No bank wanted to take on another bank's debt, and they were trying to figure out how to do it. The government couldn't create, quote, a bailout. No one wanted to hear that. We were in a process of an election at that time, and yet something had to be done to save the country. And the issue was created because of easy money and offering folks that when normally they would have had to have 20% down and a certain credit rating to get into home, the credit rating number was dropped, and they also didn't have to have a certain amount of money percent down. And then you also had the government insisting that these banks and mortgage companies open up to more minority home buyers, even if they didn't have the credit. We're not going to have it. They didn't have a job that had been in very long and might not have it tomorrow to give them a home. And we had 10 million homes before it's over with, 10 million that went into bankruptcy. The ripple effect then from that also affected school districts. It affected businesses in town. We're all tied together in this. The idea for me, I would think, is we all are in it together. Let's find a tide that lifts all boats, not a sinkhole, quicksand, where we all die. I mentioned earlier that the Democrats are even suggesting there's a silver lining in the midst of this. I want you to hear a question posed by NBC Nicole Wallace. She was interviewing someone on board or on her show. And I'm going to let you hear it because you need to hear it in full, because what it comes down to, she's not just asking a question. She's suggesting. And when she ask if there might not be a silver lining, she's really saying, is that there a silver lining and aren't we happy? In other words, in the process of this virus and battling it, the left is winning points against Donald Trump. And I want to emphasize before you listen to her, they've been resisting him since the night he was elected. And they've looked for Russian collusion. They've looked for this, they've looked for that, they looked for quid pro quo, and they looked for anything they could. They even got to the impeachment process. All of that failing. But this might be the silver lining for the Democrats. Here we go.
Something both tragic and pathetic and ironic about the fact that it took a, colorblind, gender-blind state line blind virus to sort of have all of the president's sins from his first 3 years catch up with him.
All of his sins to catch up with him. Now, you have to accept the fact that this is a sin of his first 3 years. And we had to have this virus, tragic, pathetic, ironic, for us to finally get something on this president and catch up with him. And she referred to it as a silver lining. There's a new Rasmussen poll out. This is conducted online April 20th through the 21st. And when it comes to the question of who's handling the crisis better, between President Trump or House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, 45% say Trump. 45% say Trump's doing it better than Pelosi. 44% picking Pelosi. I guess the 1% in there just wasn't sure. Or the 11%, rather. 50% of them do believe that putting the best interest of Americans first is more important to Trump than Pelosi. In their view, in that survey, and you can take it for what it's worth because all surveys can be questioned, they truly believe that he's putting the country first. When you break it down on political ranges, well, of course, you can expect exactly what it shows. 76% of Republicans think Trump is putting the country first. 70% of Democrats say the speaker is. Now, look at the opposite side of that. If 76% of Republicans think Trump is putting the country first, then the other remaining of that 100% of Republicans don't think he is, or they don't know, or they're not sure. These voters are, of course, being questioned at this time as to where we are in this situation. And the mainstream media is, again, pushing everything it can, from race baiting to, say, opening up states in the South as an attack on people of color. And Ocasio-Cortez advising you, boycott your jobs, don't go back to work. You're just going back to the in the chains that the president has put around you. And they're also encouraging other actions. And they're also using the mainstream media to claim that the president's suggesting you inject yourself directly with Lysol. He did not. But if you watch mainstream media, that's what they want you to believe. And if you just catch their headline, you might believe it. We're going to deal with that in more detail the second hour. But I got something else for you coming up. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It is shameful, but there are members of the left that have called for someone to give COVID-19 to President Trump or a member of the family. Cough on them. If you have it, get close to them. Do something. And they would rejoice about him coming down sick or his family. I don't see any joy in anyone. I don't care what their political stripes are of losing their life or a family member, especially to this disease. Yesterday, Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren announced her 86-year-old brother died this week. He'd been diagnosed with coronavirus and battling it for a couple of weeks. My sympathies to her and her family. California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, while they were voting on that $494 billion stimulus relief bill yesterday, took to the floor and said, I want to take a moment to dedicate this to my dear sister, who's dying in a hospital in St. Louis because she's infected with the disease. And again, we wish the best for her sister, hopefully a recovery. That's the way we should be, on both sides of the fence. I don't wish any ill like that on Congresswoman Waters. I don't care how many times I attack her on other issues or Elizabeth Warren. But that tends to be more and more the difference between left and right. The right will be accused of being heartless, insensitive, but the left exposes it. There's a subject that has just been lost in the process, and we're going to have to get to it at some point. I want to put it back in front of you briefly today anyway. Joe Biden, sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden, is not getting a lot of coverage because, well, you know, the woman is just her story against Joe Biden. And she claims that he had touched her numerous times and in 93 pinned her to a wall in a Senate building, reached under her clothing, penetrated her with his fingers. Where's the media questioning this? Well, let me give you a perfect example. CNBC had, or MSNBC had Pelosi on the air the other day for about 12 minutes. And they finally found a way to ask that one question so they can say, well, we did ask it. We did inquire. We haven't forgotten it.
Final question on a different issue. As you know, there was an accusation of misconduct against Joe Biden. He has publicly denied it. He is the Democratic nominee. Are you satisfied with his answer?
Yes, I am. I'm very much involved in this issue. I always want to give the opportunity that women deserve to be heard. I am satisfied with his answer, yes.
BS, Nancy Pelosi. You just said you want to give the women the opportunity to be heard. Well, you haven't really heard her allegations. You're not really deeply involved in it. You're not raising questions. You're simply accepting the man's word over the woman's word. I thought it was supposed to be the other way. After the Kavanaugh hearings, I thought we were told, you got to believe the woman. The rest of the news media, ignoring it best they can. And they can say, oh, we got to deal with the virus. Yeah, we do. We'll take a break, then we'll be back with John LeBoutier, right from 20 miles from the epicenter of New York. Some of the latest on what's happening in that area with the virus and John's take on some of these developments as we move forward. Always like John, very candid in his remarks.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
On a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Or women go and men follow?
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest, a former member of the House of Representatives from New York's 6th District, and now a outspoken independent. Let me correct that. I shouldn't say that. John will correct me immediately. A Reaganite Republican and a Bush Republican, not a Trump supporter. John LeBoutier, welcome aboard again, sir.
Larry, good morning. Hello, hello. I am a Reagan Republican, not a Bush Republican, not a Trump Republican.
There's differences in all three. I'm glad you corrected.
I'm not an independent. Nope. I'm a conservative Republican, and I'm a Reaganite, and I'm proud of it.
And proud of it, and you tend to speak your mind. I've never heard you.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it to you, Larry. I mean, yeah, you don't sugarcoat it, so why should I?
Well, let's begin with this. You are living about 20 miles in downtown Manhattan. So what are you seeing around you? Reference folks trying to get anxious, get back to work or moving around you. Are you seeing a little bit more movement or what?
Not yet. Now here, I mean, we're at the epicenter. It's the worst here in the country, in the world, really. So no, not yet. I think we're still totally locked down on Long Island where I am. New York is locked down. Coronavirus is growing here in the county that I live in. It's still on the upswing, whereas in New York City, it has flattened out and going down a little bit. And I think the people are behaving very well. When I do go out to buy food or something, the people are wearing masks, they're social distancing. I think our fellow citizens are doing what our government is asking them to do. And I'm and proud of them for doing it.
And, of course, last time you told me, I think we last talked maybe a couple of weeks ago, that the subways are still occupied. I mean, people are still getting on the subways. You can't keep your distancing on that. And that's what they rely on.
I haven't been on them, but I saw a thing in the paper the other day that 93% fall off of subway attendants. 93% fewer people are on them, in other words. So, but yeah, the subway, you stand up, all your listeners have been on subways. I mean, you hold a pole that someone else is just holding a minute ago.
You mentioned
even if you have a mask and gloves on, it's an incubator for this thing.
You mentioned how your county is beginning to show a movement. They just completed a survey across the state, 3,000 over 2 days, 19 counties, 40 localities, and you're aware that it showed that about 14% of New Yorkers across the state have antibodies. In other words, they maybe have been exposed to coronavirus already, and they're fine. They're moving on. They were surveyed at home, not at work at the time, or away from home, whatever. So a lot of folks might already have it, and it's not going to be that bad for them.
Right. They may not even have known that they did have it. And that's the mystery of the virus, is that it hits different people different ways, including killing you from one end of the spectrum to not even knowing you have it. But you've had it, and you can spread it while you have it, so they tell us.
Your state is continuing to keep things pretty much on lockdown. Some states are looking to open up, Georgia for one of them today. What is your view of the governors making their decisions as they move forward? And Kemp is making his decision contrary to what President Trump has been advising.
Right. Well, look, we're conservative Republicans, you and me. Who knows more about a state, a governor or the president who doesn't come from a state? To me, the governor knows more. If he or she chooses to reopen certain parts of it, that's the best person to make that decision.
But, of course, when it does, and then they begin to open these salons, beauty parlors, nail salons, and restaurants, I think, Monday, you're going to see more deaths. I mean, not more, but I mean, you're going to see another death or an infection, and possibly related to that particular business. What's that going to throw everything in reverse again?
Well, it will in Georgia. I mean, I could see slowly reopening a state if the numbers support it, but I don't think barbershops and tattoo parlors should be the first things to reopen, just because the nature of what you're doing there is people being in close contact with each other.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make any sense. And Trump has done a 180 on the thing. He supported it originally in Georgia, and then he threw the guy under the bus. So it's unclear, you know, why Kemp. I mean, I think Kemp did it because he was following the Trump thing of a few weeks ago, but we got to get everything reopened by Easter and then by May 1st, which is a week from today. And now he's sort of being twisted around by Trump. And I don't blame him. Everybody's confused over what the federal government is up to. One day, Trump has all the authority to decide everything. He gets a lot of pushback on that, and the next day he comes out and he says, no, it's up to each governor.
And ironically, the pushback came from Democrat governors saying, you can't tell us what to do. Now the burden's back on them, and they don't really want the burden on them, John.
Well,
they want somebody to take the blame.
They want
things to go wrong so they can say, well, you're still to blame. They're still trying to blame you. You know, in Georgia right now, they're saying opening up Georgia is an attack on people of color.
Yeah, that's not right. But here, I mean, I have to say here, I don't like Andrew Cuomo under normal circumstances, but as the governor in this pandemic in New York State, he's been excellent, and he doesn't blame anybody. And he takes the blame if things are slow, and you know. But he's trying to stay ahead of things by alerting the state and also the feds on what we need here. And he was screaming about ventilators for weeks and weeks, and we got enough ventilators to get through the worst. Apparently, we're through the worst. And now he's talking about testing. We really can't get the economy back up and running in our country until we have quick, easy testing so that you will know every day when you go to work if you have antibodies, if you're infected, in which case you got to stay home, or if you're not infected, is it safe to go to work? Yeah, but I don't want to be at work with people who might be infected, so they need to have been tested too. Testing will get us out of this thing until the big day, which is V Day, not VE Day.
What is your
V Day is the day we get a vaccine.
Yeah, that could be a year or so down the road. Now, yep. What is your take on the attitude of some Democrats, as expressed by California Governor Newsom, that this is an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and how we govern? In other words, this is an opportunity to shake up our current government system and move more towards socialism and all the environmental, green, progressive stuff they want.
Well, it's inevitable that they will attempt to seize this panic situation and try to jam that stuff through. I mean, it's the same thing that happened after the financial crash, remember? And Obama gets elected, and Rahm Emanuel becomes his chief of staff, and they're going to do the financial bailout program, which was almost $1 trillion down the toilet, by the way. And he says at the time, we got to do Obamacare. He says, never, you know, what was the line?
Never let a crisis go to waste, Joe.
That's right. So you use the crisis to get your own stuff through. And now, that's not going to happen on the federal level because the Republicans have the White House and the Senate. No Green Deal. None of that's going through this year.
So,
but if Trump loses, if he loses in November and the Republicans lose the Senate, then watch out. All that stuff's going to go through next year, all of it.
All right, since you've got November in front of us, Biden is now saying, mark my words, I think Trump is going to try to delay the election, postpone it, come up with some rationale why it cannot be held.
Yeah,
he can't
yeah.
do it, but that's the attitude and opinion.
Yeah. Well, we've seen this before. I mean, here in New York after 9/11, which was September 2001. In November 2001, we were having a mayoral election. Giuliani, his second term was coming to an end. Giuliani tried to cancel the election and extend his term for several months. He said, while I cope with the post-9/11 situation. And they, you know, whoever they were, the state assembly or the city council, it wasn't allowed. They didn't move the election. And I agree with you. Even if a president wanted to move it, it's in the Constitution.
That's right.
In fact, that it has to be the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
Absolutely.
Every 4 years.
It's right there. So, and I'm looking right at it. I was going to recite that, but you got it off the top of your head. One other little thing that I was dealing with before we had you join us in this final minute, and that is a subject that's been lost in the process, and I'm sure they're more than happy to have it lost, the allegations of sexual assault against Joe Biden. You had to search long and hard to find any of the mainstream media dealing with it or any comments. It gives them cover to push that aside. Nancy Pelosi was asked briefly on one program. She said, well, I believe Biden. That's it. Well, you think it's going to come back and play at some point?
I doubt it. It was one woman from the early 90s, and it is a legitimate story that should be talked about. It got one day it was mentioned, like on one day. But the problem with the Trump campaign, if they try to bring it up, is there are like 23 women who've said the same thing about Trump. So I don't know that they want to open that can of worms, you know.
All right, John. I always appreciate you joining us, sir. I'm glad you're in good health and staying well.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for saying that, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Let's do it again soon, as this thing, really is the epic story of our time.
It is, John. Again, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. We'll do it again.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Former U.S. Congressman John LaBoutière. Going to take a break. When we come back, how the restaurant business has been hit so hard in the midst of this. Please stand by.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
V
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The National Restaurant Association has results of a research project looking at the cost to its industry because of coronavirus. And it shows basically a combined loss of $80 billion by the end of this month, surveying 6,500 restaurant operators between April 10th through the 16th. More than any other industry in the U.S., restaurants experiencing the most significant sales and job losses. More than 8 million restaurant employees laid off or furloughed since the beginning. Two out of three losing their jobs. 4 in 10 restaurants closed. 60% say the existing federal relief will not prevent more layoffs. Well, today, of course, the president's getting ready to sign an additional stimulus bill, $494 billion. Again, trying to get money to small businesses. That would include a lot of restaurant businesses. And a lot of them did not get money the first time, and they're in the queue again. What did happen, some of the big restaurant chains, they jumped in line. They had the applications in. They had their people force it through, and they got the money, such as Shake Shack. They got their money, but Shake Shack, to its credit, and of course also due to public pressure, suddenly decided we're going to give that back, as they should. Now, the way Shake Shack got that is because they broke each of their stores down to separate components and treated them as an individual business. Let's say you had a restaurant across the street from a Shake Shack, and that's the only business. That's it. You're not franchised. But across the street, they're getting stimulus money to help them stay open and pay their employees. So to its credit, even though it had to be called out on it, Shake Shack gave the money back. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse has been another one under fire for taking that money. $20 million. They got the money in early April. And now the company says, we intend to repay this loan. Well, now, repaying it is one thing. Just giving it back is the other thing. Repaying it's going to take a period of time. I don't know how fast they're going to repay it, but just return the money. Just give it back so it can be added to the pool of those who need help and need it now. And we got universities doing the same thing. The president put pressure on Harvard because Harvard was taking money. I wish I'd raised that question with John a moment ago. I forgot to do it. Taking some of that federal stimulus money. With their mass endowments and money, do you think they needed it? No. And the president called them out on it. So Harvard, while trying at first to keep the federal money, realized, it's better for us to just turn it back. The University of Pennsylvania just announcing that it's going to reject nearly $10 million in relief funds. They were looking forward to getting it, but again, public pressure building on higher levels of institution, levels of learning, I should say, and pushing from alumni and others, alums saying, what are you doing? We got people struggling out here. You don't need it. We know you got big endowment. In fact, the University of Pennsylvania has an endowment of $14.7 billion. And they took $10 million? That would mean nothing to them in the end. But $10 million spread out for small colleges and universities or back into the workforce would mean a lot. So they've announced that they're going to reject it. Princeton, Yale, all deciding to do the same thing. And I'm thankful that the president called them out on the universities. I'd raised this question the other day, and I raised it because it had come to my attention by one of our listeners pointing out how Washington University is furloughing something like 1,800 employees. And they said, why are they doing it? They don't need to do that. They got plenty of endowment money to keep everybody on board. Now, I don't know. I haven't checked to see if Washington U applied for and received any of the stimulus money. But the point being made by the listener was, I know they got money. I know their endowment fund's big. They can subsist just fine. And if they're going to get money like I just described, $10 million against whatever they have in an endowment, it means nothing in the real bottom line to the university, but it means everything to those that need it in their individual operations. and to lay off employees when you got that kind of money sitting off in the bank. Why do that? And in particular, when you look at universities, Harvard, Yale, and you can put WashU in that tend to be more liberal in their teachings. More liberal in the sense that it's all for the common people, the common good. And find out where your liberal friends are when you're in need of money, don't you? That's a startling figure, by the way, of the restaurant workers. I knew the numbers were high. But 8 million furloughed, and 2 out of 3 have lost their jobs, and 4 in 10 restaurants closed and may never reopen again. Some major economic crisis. And we got Democrats playing around with it because they think this is a way to make some extra points. Coming up in the next hour, there's been a development concerning the black representative we had on yesterday where he was under attack by fellow Democrats because he decided to endorse Donald Trump, saying the Democrat Party had abandoned the black Americans. And then a black American legislator who is under attack because she credited Trump with helping save her life. And Ricky Gervais with his comments about the Hollywood elite.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.